Right, easing our way through the day. Good morning to you. I want to say hello to Bill White from Lucid Talk. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Frank.
Bill, the latest survey from Lucid Talk is out on the countdown to the election. And what does the poll say?
Well, it shows a number of the constituencies. You know, we have 18 constituencies that are in play on Thursday, Frank. And 10 of them are really slam dunks. I mean, North Antrim, West Belfast, as we've discussed before, they are pretty solidly, we know the way they're going. I think you don't need a poster to tell you that. We have 8 marginal seats: South Antrim, Belfast North, Belfast South, Belfast East, Fermanagh South, Tyrone, Foyle, Upper Ban and South Down. And they're all getting, most of them are getting quite more harder to call. South Antrim is trending away from the UUP at the moment and looks right on the knife edge between them and the DUP. Likewise, South Down's going to looks like it's going to be a fairly tough fight, according to our opinion panel. You know, we have a Northern Ireland wide opinion panel, and we look down into each constituency to see what the trends are. So there could be 4 or 5 recounts the way this is looking on Thursday night. There's 4 or 5 very close contests.
It's interesting. Joe was the man who raised it, where he couldn't be bothered, having watched the politicians last night on the TV. He has no interest at all in using his right to help democratically elect them. But what you're suggesting is that every vote is going to count in this.
Well, certainly in those seats they are. I mean, it's that's one of the weaknesses of the first-past-the-post system. I mean, West Belfast, you know, you're going out to vote for, you know, the cause, as it were. Sinn Féin are the red-hot favourites to hold that seat quite comfortably. And there's a number of seats like that. But certainly in seats like South Down, East Belfast, South Belfast, obviously Fermanagh South Tyrone, which is always on a knife edge, Frank. I mean, every vote is going to count in those constituencies. And it could come down to a few hundred either way. So it is, you know, every vote counts, as you just said there, yeah.
Yeah, and you make a good point too. If Joe's in one of the constituencies where you could name the MP now, it's hardly worth his time bothering.
Well, that's true. That's true. I mean, there's always this debate about voting, not voting. Everybody's got a right not to vote. I suppose that's a democratic right as well. But it's up to the politicians to inspire people to be able to go out and vote. And obviously, Joe feels that, you know, watching the programme last night, and I'm sure there's other experiences he's had, that he's, you know, he doesn't feel motivated to go out to vote. But then that's his choice, and he's entitled to make that choice, Frank, I suppose, you know.
Part of the problem with the likes of a programme last night is you could have run any one of them over the last number of years. They all sound the same. No matter what the presenter tries to do, no matter what the production team try to do, no matter which channel it's on, you could write the scripts for the people who are the contributors. They will shout the same things. They will cry out the same mantras. And for those who aren't steeped in politics, for those who don't love the buzz of it, it's bound to be a switchover experience.
Yes, that's true. I mean, we collect all the comments that are made during our opinion polling as well, Frank, and there's a lot of disillusionment out there. There's still a lot of disillusionment with people who are still going to go out to vote, but they are not particularly impressed with their politicians, or for whatever else, unionists or nationalists. So the politicians have, you know, their work cut out to try to keep people motivated to maybe come up with some new lines of thinking along whatever, you know, political line they're following themselves. And they're not really inspiring the bulk of the people at the moment in terms of their vision for the future and what they're going to offer the people. So yes, I think all of them need to look at what their policies are, the way they present their policies, and really start really engaging with the electorate again, because there certainly is a level of disillusionment out there. There's no doubt about it.
You certainly didn't get the impression last night that they could sort out Stormont.
No, that didn't come through, I will admit. Yes, indeed. It, obviously, we're going into the talks phase immediately after this election is out of the way, and I suppose that's still up for discussion, what happens. But certainly the outlook wasn't good. No, I have to say the signs were there that there's still a lot of work to do. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Interesting angle during the Lucid Talk poll on likability and trustworthiness. Tell me how that worked out.
Well, these are two key poll questions, and they're sometimes viewed as a little bit of fun poll questions, but frankly, they have an importance within overall polling as well. Trustworthiness, obviously. Trustworthiness, we asked about the five key party leaders who were on your debate last night, of course, or the parties were represented, but this is Arlene Foster, Michelle O'Neill of Sinn Féin, Arlene Foster of the DUP, Colm Eastwood of the SDLP, Robin Swan of the UUP, and Naomi Long of Alliance, of course. And we asked them, do you trust them very well, from very low to very high? Arlene Foster did not, I have to say, the DUP come out very well in trustworthiness. Michelle O'Neill, still not particularly good, but not as bad as Arlene Foster. The two people that came out reasonably well in trustworthiness were Naomi Long and Colm Eastwood. Colm Eastwood came out very well, in fact, and also Naomi Long, as I've said, they were sort of both joined top. Robin Swan was sort of neutral, but again, that's probably understandable. He's only in the job. He came into the job with a fairly low profile. He wasn't one of the big-name UUP people, so I suppose people are just not sure of him at the moment. They want to have a look at him, as it were, for a while before they make up the decision whether they trust him or not. But that's the way it came out. But Colm Eastwood and Naomi Longs were joined top in terms of trustworthiness. Not strongly so, but, you know, there were, compared to the others, they were joined top.
They're counting overnight come Thursday. So with your suggestion that there could be recounts, there's an element of excitement to look forward to, at least in some constituencies.
Well, I think so, yes. Those constituencies I've mentioned. Sorry, I didn't move on. In terms of likability, I should have said, Frank, I didn't answer your question. My fault. Similar results in likability. Again, strong likability for Colm Eastwood and Naomi Long, just to finish off the question you asked. Colm Eastwood, interestingly enough, when we drill down, this is what we do in polling, we can do demographic analyses. With females, right across Unionist Nationalists, Colm Eastwood scores quite highly. The females are quite impressed with Colm Eastwood. So whether that's his looks or his beard or whatever, I'm not too sure. But he can take a pat on the back that he's scoring particularly well with females. But certainly, as far as the counts are concerned, they are looking as if there could be a number of Northern Ireland seats. Could be wrong, of course, but it looks as if a number of Northern Ireland seats are going to be extremely tight. It could be a very exciting night. Obviously, it goes without saying for Manus South Tyrone, they've had several. They tend to have a recount every election, so that's on fairly strongly in the cards. That could be very close again. South Down, East Belfast, South Belfast, those are the sort of top four very tight seats. North Belfast, Upper Ban, less so, but still could be close results, though it's tending, both those seats are looking tending towards the DUP. And the other seats, sorry, I should have said, that could have a very tight result on the unionist, actually between the two unionist candidates, is South Antrim. That's looking a real battle now for Danny Kinahan to hold on to that seat against the strong challenge from Paul Girvan of the DUP. So it could be a very exciting night.
Interesting commentary. You know, Bill, I'm still trying to work out the difference between trustworthiness and likability. I suppose it is a very thin line, but is there a suggestion in there that those you trust you may not like, or those you like you may not trust? I don't think so.
Very good point, Frank. No, there is a link between it. I mean, when you think it logically in life, if you don't like somebody, it's very hard to say, well, I really trust that person, but I don't like him. Or I really like that person, but I don't trust them. I mean, it doesn't work really in friendships and the relationships we have. So there is a connection between the two. So it's not surprising that the results are the same. You tend to find, actually, in elections and politics, females tend to have to like somebody first. This is all done subconsciously, by the way, because if you say this to females, they tend to get annoyed that it's a sort of a criticism that they're not looking at the policies. But no, you tend to have to, and a lot of males too, but on the female side, more skewed towards the female side, they tend to have to like somebody. And then they look at the policies and that type of thing. So as I said, Colm Eastwood scores reasonably well on the trustworthiness as well, but he scores particularly well on the likability, and Naomi Long scores particularly well on both as well. But there is a link between the two. Your point's a good one, yeah.
Just on that, because I brought it up earlier with Malachy and Alex, the fact that Robin Swan is a small man, and at one point looked like as if he was being tarred over by Michelle O'Neill. And as I said earlier, I've also spoken to Robin Swan about his height on this very programme. Does that matter? Is there do people subliminally, subconsciously decide in favour, for example, of a taller person or a better looking person or a person who's stylishly presented on the screen?
Well, yes, no, yes, they do. The answer to that is yes. I mean, people take this as a bit of a, you know, criticism of politics or whatever, but there is, and particularly in elections, particularly in TV debates, there is a form of X factor to it. There's a form of show business, and we all, as human beings, subliminally, subconsciously, look at those sort of things. Hopefully I'm not offending anybody here, but it has to be said that political leaders who have bald heads don't actually appeal as much to females as political leaders with full heads of hair. That's been proven. Ian Duncan Smith had that disadvantage as a Conservative leader, so had William Hague, so had Neil Kinnock further back for the Labour Party. I mean, the research shows this. So there's a number of things like that. In terms of the height point you mentioned, that can play into fact, and again, subliminally, has a view of people that the person who is taller maybe has more stronger views, is more resolute about their views, have firmer views. That can come across. And again, the research shows this, and this applies to all walks of life, Frank, but it makes it interesting. Always you've got to just remember that elections are a little bit of a sports contest, and they're a little bit of an X factor type context, and a little bit of show business in it, as well as the serious policy issues.
Yeah, you mentioned as part of the survey that one of the leaders having a beard may have been an advantage to him, Colm Eastwood, whereas there will also be people sitting watching and thinking, if that man got rid of that beard, I'd vote for him.
Yeah, that actually, there is a little bit of a conundrum there. We pick up all the comments, as you said in the polling. There's a number of comments, particularly from females, who said they liked the little white bit in his beard. They find that, I don't think if the word retracted was used, but they find that of interest. And that came through. There's a number of separate comments from respondents who said that. Whether they were saying it a little bit tongue-in-cheek, I'm not too sure, because normally beards can have either a positive effect or a negative effect. The bald head research is pretty firm. The beards are still the jury's a little bit still out in that one. Certainly he scored well in likability and trust, so it's not a disadvantage him having the beard, and certainly our poll shows that, so he scored quite well in both likability and trust, so I would suggest maybe he keeps it on for the moment and maybe waits to our next poll to decide whether he shaves it off or not, you know.
It is a reminder that people make up their minds on more issues than Brexit and the bread and butter topics.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, one of the key things that drove the EU referendum campaign, the research shows this, was the personalities of two key people. That was Boris Johnson and Nigel Farage. I mean, they actually, without those two personalities, I would doubt if it would have been a Brexit vote. I mean, they actually drove the campaign, their charisma, their media presence. When they're interviewed on the TV, people listen, they engage. Even, again, your point, Frank, subliminally and subconsciously they engage with them. They are two top-class performers, regardless of what they say on their policies. They're very, very good in the public arena. They're very good at public speaking, at public meetings, and they're pretty, very, very good on your industry, in the media, Frank, you know. So that drove that. That has, if I wouldn't say it was the overall writing factor, maybe I'm a bit strong saying it would have affected the result either way, but it certainly was a big factor in the campaign.
Do you ever stop and think, finally, Bill, and, you know, you're in the industry, I'm in the industry, but we're watching it from the other side. Do you ever stop and think, why do they put themselves through it? That grilling that they got last night, being at those podiums, being in the limelight the way they are. Do you ever stop and think, why do human beings allow themselves to be exposed like that?
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, we all criticise politicians. We all like to throw our points at them and say they're not doing the job. But it is a tough calling. You're always on public show. Little things like, I've had politicians say to me, on, for example, on New Year's Eve, one politician, I said, well, you'll be going out tonight. And he said, no, Bill, we have to stay in. We just watch the TV. Because if you go out, even if I take just a glass of wine, there may be somebody who may have had one drink too many, and they start into you about politics. And I you can't answer them back, because you'll be the one in the wrong, not them, and because it could create an incident. So you're always on show, you're going out, and it is a life, I think, that maybe we should be a little bit more easier on them, Frank. I think they're, because it is a tough calling, and I do wonder sometimes, why do they put themselves through that, I must admit,
it is a tough ask. Bill, thanks for the time. If people want to read that Lucid Talk survey in more detail, where would you steer them?
It's online, it'll be online from this evening. You'll see it on the Lucid Talk website, and it'll be in the Lucid Talk Twitter and Facebook as well, and obviously some of the other media, the Belfast Telegraph and the Sun will be picking up some of the results. results as well. So it'll be widely known, and then we'll know what the real results are early on Friday morning, of course. I would advise people to watch the exit poll, by the way, just Frank, if you're looking at the UK national scene. The exit poll, as we know, was very accurate in 2015. It usually is very accurate. So about 10:05, we'll have the exit poll on Thursday night. And if people are not that into politics or up early tomorrow morning, they can watch the exit poll and then they can go to bed. And usually when they wake up the next morning, the exit poll has matched pretty closely what the final result is. So just a little bit of a pointer there.
Okay, Bill, thank you very much indeed. Heading towards Election Day, which of course is this Thursday.